Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes see details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
Pikachu, I choose you.
Pika, pee. Pika.
that's a random one.
That is very random. I like random. Yeah. It's good. Well,
I'd like to say I'm too old for Pokemon, but they kind of did come around when I was a kid. I should be into them, but I just kind of never got into them.
I was big into them. And I had a huge card collection, and then I reached an age where I thought, these are worth money now. So I managed to buy a card by selling them.
Fair play.
So, yeah, I don't have
any. You must have had some valuable ones.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I had maybe, I think I ended up selling, well, I had hundreds.
Yeah.
But the ones that made me the money, I only actually had maybe like 62 to 67, like what they called shiny, holographic ones. Yeah. Venusaur, things like that, if people are listening and they're like, oh, what Pokemon card? Yeah, I sold one card, made me, it's like 120 quid on eBay.
Jeez.
Just from the first card I put up there.
Because, and these were like original Pokemon cards from like the 90s.
Yeah, late 90s, like first edition ones, things like that. And I was going off a certain website that was pricing them up, saying you can get anywhere between $60 to $100 or pounds for this. And I was just converting it.
Wow.
And then I was putting them straight on eBay. And then my tactic, if anyone wants some selling Pokemon card advice, whatever it says it's worth online, you're probably not going to get that. So, for example, the Venusaur one said I could earn £160 for, you know, really good condition card. So I was putting them up for 150, and it didn't sell for like maybe a day or two. And then someone messaged me and said, oh, it's not in a protective sleeve. So I thought, okay, right. So I went out, bought some sleeves and everything. And then I put it back on there, new photos, best lighting, sorted it all out. And then I lowered the price again to like 140, and then it sold straight away. But obviously eBay and everything takes a cut. So in the end, I made 120 something pounds profit from one card. Yeah.
Wow.
So it wasn't too bad.
That is nuts to me that a bit of card is worth that much money.
Oh, yeah. That's... Yeah. Oh, the best one was, I don't know, we started the podcast. But
already on a tangent.
Just quickly, the best one was the Dark Charizard I had. So the normal Charizard, if it's in mint condition, that can go for like $2,000-$3,000 for one card.
£1,000?
Yeah.
£2,000-£3,000?
Yeah, if it's proper mint condition, right, protected in a sleeve, everything. And I had a Dark Charizard, which was like the next generation of cards. So it wasn't, you know, the Holy Grail, but it was, you know, 3-4 steps down. And online, it said you can get anywhere between like £200-£300 for that one card. So I went straight in and I thought, I don't want to seem too greedy. I'll put £260. And I'm not even joking. I uploaded that. And by the time I'd refreshed my page, it had sold.
Wow. Like
someone just bought it now, straight away. So I probably could have got 300, maybe even a little more.
Probably
could have got
500 for it.
Yeah. So within two cards.
Did you put that on with a buy it now thing?
Yeah, I put all of them buy it now.
Oh, right. Okay.
And yeah, within two cards, I'd made like 350 quid.
What you'd have made if you had a bidding war over it.
The thing is, I tried some of the not so popular ones for bidding. Yeah. And I don't know if it's just me that happened to on eBay. But I had quite a few people like get to the end and they were kind of like, I don't really want to pay that much for it. So they would either cancel it or, do you know what I mean? I think some of it was like the art of bidding, trying to outbid someone. They win it and they're like, oh, actually,
look how much money I'm paying for a bit of card.
200 is a bit much, actually. And then they'd message me after, a few days later, and be like, actually, would you take 100? I can't afford 200. And I'm like, well, why did you bid on it then?
Yeah.
So I just started putting out buy it now and things.
Fair enough. Right, so. Okay. 4 minutes in and we haven't even started the episode.
Everyone's got to have a side hustle. That's what I say.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, do you want to know about today, mate?
Yeah, this is somebody's side hustle.
Yeah. Well, straight away, I've come straight from work. So if I look a bit messy and there's mud on my shirt, that's why. But for the listeners, it doesn't affect you whatsoever. No. My voice is not affected by work. So today, my friend, we are doing Dicenian glass.
Dicyanin.
Dicyanin.
There's so many different ways of pronouncing it, aren't there?
Yeah, I've actually heard maybe 4 or 5 different ways of saying it. But for me, it flows off the tongue saying Dicenian. It sounds quite nice.
Okay. That's not pronounced the way it's spelled, but...
No, it's certainly not. But I came across this on social media and... As I've said to you, I always take things with a little bit of a pinch of salt, you know. You never know what's true and what's not, especially with video editing these days and things like that. So I saw this video of... I truly believe the video I saw originally is a hoax.
Right.
But the original video I saw was a Russian man, and he picked up a piece of glass, but it was just see-through. It was just normal glass. But it said... The powers of Dicenian glass. And I thought, okay, this has already piqued my interest. And he went outside his apartment and he held up this glass to the sky. And inside the glass was a UFO. And then when he removed the glass, there was just clear skies.
So
I thought straight away, I was like, that's not real. That's a hoax. And I still think it is a hoax. But I then was like, well, what's Dicenian glass? Just from that video.
So you went down a rabbit hole.
And I went down a rabbit hole. Right, okay. Yeah. So Dicenian glass, I'll start with the brief statement of what it is.
Yeah, yeah, go for it. Yeah.
So it is glass that is with dye in it. And the dye is it's like a bluish purple indigo color, but mainly purple.
Okay, yeah.
And it is two pieces of glass with this dye mushed between it. And it's made out of coal and tar.
Right.
A combination of coal and tar. And I
shouldn't be able to see anything through it.
Ah, I'm so... Get out of my head. Because I'm going to come back to that because that's actually really smart that you've worked that out already.
Right.
Honestly, that is actually... Pretty smart, because I didn't find that bit of information until the end of my research.
Okay.
Like, oh, that makes sense. So the fact that we're 7 minutes in, you've already clocked on to the fact that, like, that doesn't make sense. It's pretty impressive, to be honest. I love how your brain works sometimes. It's like scrambled eggs. It's just all over the place.
Yeah.
So now this glass, I will get to the inventor of it in a second, but briefly, it was made to see auras around people.
Okay, right.
That was originally the part
the intention,
of it.
Yeah.
So let's go straight into the guy who invented it, who is Walter John Kilner. And this goes back to 1847 he was born.
All right.
And he passed away in 1920. And this research and the things that he was doing was late 1800s, but is it 1800s or 19? Because I always get that mixed
up. 1800s is the 19th century.
So it was like 1880 to 1890, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So is that
late 1800s or the 19th century?
Yeah. That is the 19th
century. Yeah, 19th century.
Because it always confuses me, because it starts with 18, but it's the 19th century.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre to me.
Well, you think the first 100 years would be like the north century, wouldn't it? Century naught, zero. And then when you get to year 100, that'd be the first century, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course it would. Yeah, okay. That's so bizarre. So Walter John Kilner was actually born in Bury St. Edmunds.
Ah, not too far from us.
That is literally round the corner. Yeah. So shout out to him. And he was a British medical electrician. And he, it's going to make sense, right? So bearing in mind this is late 1800s, 19th century.
Probably he was at the early age of electricity, to be fair.
Yeah, and he was in charge of electrotherapy.
Right.
So that's why he was called an electrician. And he was at the St. Thomas Hospital in London between 1879 and 1893. And he wrote a book called The Human Atmosphere.
Right. And
he was basically obsessed with auras, and he kind of had like these spiritual thoughts. And pseudoscience, as you say, but everyone that worked with him and worked on the same projects said that he was actually very good at splitting it down the middle, and he had his work and the stuff that he was supposed to be working on, and this stuff he kind of did on the side as his own side hustle. We brought it full circle. Yeah. So now the start is fine. So, but apparently he was actually very good at dividing it. So even though he had these kind of spiritual beliefs and this side to him that were, he wasn't religious, but he was very interested in spirits and auras and all of that. But when it came to the actual science, if he did debunk certain things, he was like, yeah, no, it doesn't work. It's fine. So he became obsessed with the idea of auras. Everybody has auras.
Yeah.
And
well, scientifically, that does kind of check out. Because not even like the spiritual side of it, because that's a whole different discussion of the spiritual side of auras and whether we emit auras. Humans do emit light.
Yes.
You got that. I'm getting in your head again, aren't I? So like with it, like in the infrared range, if you've got an infrared camera and point it at someone, you will see the light that they emit as heat energy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, technically, an aura is literally just a light wave that is emitted at a frequency that your eyes don't necessarily pick up.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was also a very avid chess player.
Oh, you enjoyed chess? Yeah, fair enough. Well, there weren't no TV back then. So.
No. But this book, The Human Atmosphere, he created this while he was studying at Cambridge, a very well-known...
reputable college, yeah.
And he was also obsessed with semiconductors and electromagnets. So that's
semiconductors,
and electromagnets.
Okay.
Everything electricity.
He was
obsessed with it.
Fair enough.
I did Google semiconductors, it said to me, was just metals that were good at holding electricity.
Yeah, holding a charge, yeah.
But he was quite well respected at the time. And he came to the conclusion that, like you said about the light, he thinks that auras are probably ultraviolet light. It's just you can't necessarily see them with the naked eye.
Well, ultraviolet is the opposite end of the scale to infrared. But yeah, I mean, he'd know more about that than I would.
Yeah, that's what his best guess is. He thinks after all the research and science and stuff, he thought that's probably what it is. So then Robert Kilner, he started creating all of these different types of glass slides, and they were called Kilner screens, named after him.
Right.
And they were treated with alcoholic solutions and various different colours made of different things. And it was because he wanted to find something that could see outside the normal spectrum of visible light.
Okay. So he's basically making like a filter.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I was to talk about filters for a minute.
Yeah, like go it? For yeah. it.
Because obviously filters, I used to do astrophotography, as you know, taking pictures of the sky at night and stuff. You can use filters to bring out the detail of like nebula and stuff, because there's obviously like different gases and dust particles like absorb light and reflect light at different wavelengths.
Yeah.
And one of the main ones that we use in astrophotography is hydrogen alpha, somewhere around 700 nanometers. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact number. But yeah, that will show up, like, you know, the red nebula that you see in space? Like the Orion nebula's very got a lot of hydrogen alpha in it, very red. Also, if you point your telescope at the sun, which don't ever do that without a sunscreen on.
Oh, what, wearing sunscreen?
No, an actual sunscreen on the telescope. There's like this like plastic film that you can buy to go over the front of the telescope that cuts out like 99.9% of the sun's glare.
Ah, nice.
So you're seriously cutting down, because obviously you point your telescope at the sun and don't put any protection on there. You're going to blind yourself.
Is it the same as when they say don't look at a total eclipse or something, because it's going to burn your retinas?
Yeah, before totality happens, yeah. Mm. You don't want to be looking at the sun directly without some kind of protection. But yeah, with the filters, right, so if you were to look at the sun with a hydrogen alpha filter, it's a very sort of reddy orangey colour, and you can see it's kind of like the waves on the sea. Like,
oh
yeah, you can like literally see like these weird like ripply patterns. I'll put a picture on the video version. But yeah, with every filter that you put on the sun, you're seeing like a different surface, so it looks differently. So if you don't use a filter and you're just looking at the white light, all you see is the photosphere of the sun, and you can see the sunspots and all that sort of thing, like AR, whatever it's called at the moment, which is like 13 times the size of the Earth, which is why we could see the Northern Lights the other night. You can see all that. With the hydrogen alpha filter, you get a completely different image. And then if you put like a UV filter on, I can't remember that it's called K filter or something like that, you then get another completely different view of the sun, because you're looking at a different surface. You're sort of looking through the top layers, and then if you really want to get technical, and you've got like a space telescope like what NASA have got, they can look at the sun in X-rays. And you know when you see those images of the sun and it's got all those big loops coming out of
it.
That's X-ray vision, and you have to have very very precise wavelengths, like the filter has to be very, very precise to be able to see that kind of thing. I wanted to be able to do that with astrophotography. It's impossible. For just an amateur with a telescope, it's impossible. You need to have like ridiculous money's worth of equipment to be able to get that view. But yeah, so different filters will either expose or hide different wavelengths of light. And if this guy believes that the human aura is just a frequency of light, he thinks it's more to do with the ultraviolet range.
Yeah.
So he was trying to create a filter basically to reveal that light.
Yes, that makes sense.
But to the naked eye, you know.
Yes, yeah. So he tried to create these goggles to do that very thing. And with his research, he labels it as there's two different types of aura. So this Dysenian glass that he created, it's called the etheric double. So that is basically inner and outer auras. But together, he calls it the etheric double.
Right.
So he was able to make these sunglasses, goggles, whatever you want to call them. And the auras were seen, both of them, inner and outer, several inches away from the actual body.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's been a couple of conspiracy theory things with these goggles.
Okay.
So we're getting into our territory now. So the reason I found this so interesting is the main story that keeps coming up and that I keep seeing is this. Are you ready for this? Hold on to your hats.
Right, this is the smoking gun, yeah.
This is. Now, night vision goggles.
Yeah.
They're green, aren't they?
Generally, yes.
What if I told you that they were a different colour before they were green? Would you believe me?
I would believe that they were black and white. I don't know if night vision would convert to a different colour of the spectrum, because the green end of the spectrum, when you look at like pixels on a TV, RGGB, there's twice as much green as there is anything else, because green captures the luminosity end of the spectrum.
Ah.
And the red and blue just make up the rest of the range of colours. So it makes sense that low light vision would be in green to me.
Mm. Well, what if I told you that they tried other colours and they started with red?
Right.
And that was getting some results.
Yeah.
But then they thought, let's try this Dysenian goggle for the army, and we'll try and use them as kind of night vision, and we'll test them out, see how they
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch, whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow. Styles that bring joy to your world. Brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more. And deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Okay. So the US government decided to buy a handful of these goggles from Mr. Kilner.
Right.
Went over to Vietnam.
Well, hang on, the timeline is not making sense here. He died in, what, 1920?
1920.
Vietnam was until the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
they acquired the Dysenian glass later on. I'll come back to that, though, because that does make sense.
Right.
So there were a handful of people using the Dysenian goggles, and a few of the troops started to fire, friendly fire, at their own helicopters.
Right.
And when they caught up with them afterwards and said, what the hell's going on? What are you doing? You're shooting at your own helicopters.
Yeah, not helping.
They said that they could see, through these goggles, flying demon-type creatures attacking the helicopter and flying close to the helicopter.
Oh.
And they didn't actually shoot the helicopters. They were firing
close to them
at what they thought was about to attack them and the helicopters.
Oh.
So the rumor is, allegedly, the US government completely banned proper Dysenian glass and everything from the military and stopped people from using it.
Because it's revealing something that they don't want you to see.
Yes, and due to its paranormal properties is the actual term, is what they used.
Well, going back to the start, you said about the video that brought this to light to you, with the guy that held it up and there was a UFO. That does give some credence to that video, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, one thing I will mention, one thing that they did say could have been the reason, is proper Dysenian back in the day.
Yeah.
The stuff that Robert Kilner was working with and things like that, very toxic.
Okay.
Now, the rumours are that this chemical, because it's wedged between two bits of glass, the chemical was leaking and getting into the eyes of the troops and essentially was giving them like an acid trip, like some sort of toxic trip.
Okay, yeah.
Because it wasn't all of the troops. It was only the ones with these certain goggles on. So that is one explanation that they think is the reason.
Toxicity.
Yeah, yeah. But they're not too sure on it. They just know that they stopped and then they started using the green night vision goggles shortly after that. And that's what they continue to use today.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's other little tidbits of conspiracy and things like that. So supposedly Dysenium glass can see the astro realm as well as auras and things. So like the UFOs and things in space and whatnot. But it's actually very hard to get hold of proper Dysenium. Now, Robert Kilner, back in the day, he used to get it ordered and shipped from Germany. Germany seemed to
Didn't he invent it?
Yeah, he did. So this is the thing. He found it in a mine or like a cave in the ground, the coal, because it's a coal tar mixture. So,
oh, it's a natural substance.
Yeah, yeah. So it's found. Oh, it's found in the ground.
Alchemize it, and it was actually something that he
discovered. So he originally discovered it. So when he wanted more, it was very hard for him to get it. But they're trying to connect the dots. But for whatever reason, around that time, Germany seemed to have it naturally in the ground more than anywhere else. So he used to get it shipped in from Germany, and it's actually very, very rare, very hard, and the. The other thing is, after the, I wouldn't say the government banned it. It was before then, before the government got hold of it. So allegedly, Robert Kilner had all of his research and everything taken off of him. So I don't know whether he was back because no one's around really to know about it. So the rumors are when he was finding these auras and this astro realm and going down that route. Maybe he told the wrong person, but someone got told of it and they took that side of the research away from him.
Okay.
Now, also when they discovered that it was kind of semi-toxic and things like that, they actually changed the chemical. I forgot his last name. I think it was Ballrag. But honestly, I'm not joking. His name was Oscar something, and I'm sure it was Ballrag. But this guy, Oscar, anyway... He changed the chemical compound slightly to stop it from being so toxic.
Right.
So that also
Works.
It still works. Now, there's what you said about it not being clear.
Yeah.
That's what would have happened with Robert Kilner's experiments and things. There's like a timeline. There's what do they call it? Like a shelf life on that. And it starts to go cloudy, this chemical.
Okay.
So this guy, Oscar... altered the chemicals and things to make it clear. So it's got a longer
shelf life.
And so it's not toxic anymore. Like if you find it or try to buy it or anything, it's very hard to get hold of.
Yeah.
And it's not toxic anymore. There's one company that I found online called the Museum of Tarot. And he actually seems very genuine. Like he gives examples of his glasses and goggles compared to other companies that are selling them and comparisons. And his is very purple, very clear.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people would probably look at his website or if they're thinking about ordering goggles and say maybe he's just trying to make a quick buck or something like that. But then I'd done a little deep dive into him. And he's a bit like us. He's got like his own kind of platform and he's really into conspiracies and ghost stories and all the same stuff as us and aliens and things. And he does actually seem quite genuine to me anyway. He doesn't seem like he's a dude that made a company and tried to sell off knockoff goggles or anything.
Right.
But the point is anyway, he has the proper Dysenium glass that's the chemical... You know, not the toxic one, but the as original as you can get.
Right, yeah.
And his is really clear, doesn't cloud up or anything. And he has actually changed it a little bit more himself.
Tweaked it.
Tweaked it again So it is full on clear, and it's like you're wearing, or looks like from the videos that I saw of his, it's just purple sunglasses, and right. It actually looks quite cool.
Okay.
So that's pretty much all I've got on Dicenian glass.
So you've been on down a little rabbit hole on this, obviously. Is there any compelling examples, videos or anything that you've seen? Or have you seen anything that you thought was genuine and you know, like human auras or UFOs or anything?
Okay. I've seen two, and they're both the either end of the scale.
Right.
So I saw one where a guy had these Dicenian goggles, and I think he was left them in a will or something, but they were... what's the type? It's like dated. Like, is that a word? Like, when they they could pinpoint where, like, when it was made, kind of thing.
Okay,
like
yeah.
And it would have been around 1940 that these goggles were. So they were the older version. Okay, so they're still not toxic, but you know they were starting to get cloudy and things. But they were Dicenian glass, and the video that he kind of holds up the camera. Through the
through
lens,
the lens yeah.
And his friend, it's just him and his friend is in a forest, just stood there, and you can actually see like a white outline, which I presume is what they're talking about with the aura.
Yeah.
So you can just see like a clear white outline, you know, and that to me was a bit believable, you know.
Yeah,
it didn't look
compelling.
Because it wasn't over the top. It was literally just a guy saying, "Oh, I've got this Dicenian glass. I've heard about it, and yeah, I think I can see my friend's aura. What about you?" So he's actually asking you, like, "Am I being crazy, or can you see it as well?" So that came across as genuine. But then I saw another video of a woman who had these goggles, and she's walking her dog or doing something through a field. And she's holding up the goggles, and you don't see anything through the camera, but she's saying that when she's walking through and she's actually got the goggles on, she can see things flying through the sky really quick, and she allegedly says that they could be UFOs.
Right.
So it's like, I don't want to...
But
like,
she doesn't actually get any of that on camera. She's just claiming and describing what she's seeing.
Yeah, and she's like kind of... laughing it off, saying, "Oh, when I put the camera up, it's almost like they know that I'm trying to show you guys. But I promise you, when I've got the goggles on, I can." So it's, do you know what I mean? It's you've got to take her word for it.
Yeah.
So I've seen both ends of the spectrum, but all in all, most of the videos I see, you can see like an outline around people.
Fair
so
play.
If it is that light, then Walter has succeeded, because that was what the glasses were originally for, was to see people's auras. And conspiracy aside, like about the arm, the US Army and all of that, I don't know if that's true or not. I just thought that was an interesting kind of side story.
Yeah.
Allegedly it is, you know, banned by the US government for that reason, seeing demonic angels flying towards army men.
Demonic angels.
like weird flying demons kind of thing.
Okay.
But I just found the whole thing very fascinating. And then it kind of put things into perspective for me, where it's like, you know that old question, we've said it a few times. If you try and picture a new color, you can't do it.
You can't do it.
Like,
no.
You physically cannot think of a new color. And it kind of reminded me of that, where he's trying to find these different spectrums of light and use these different dyes and things like that. And it just got me thinking. I found that so interesting, that our eyes, there is other things that we cannot see.
Yeah.
And then it also could go into different dimension territory if you wanted to go that way.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Like, who are we to say that it's not just meditation and stuff that can lead you to, or drugs that lead you to another dimension? How do we not know that we just haven't found the right
wavelength
spectrum
of light
to see into another dimension?
Well,
it could be a winged demon right outside the studio.
It could be.
We don't know, because we can't see it.
So, I kind of want to get some Dicenian glass now and have a look through it.
You'd rock them because they're purple. So even if they didn't work for you, you'd look cool in them.
Yeah, and everything would look cool to me.
You can get. I think you can either get them in goggle form, which proper is tight to your eyes kind of thing, so you've got no other light.
Right,
or you can get them as like shades. so they look a bit cooler and you're more likely to use them rather than walking around with goggles.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very cool.
Do you remember those, I don't know if they still do them these days, but you used to be able to get sunshades that you could clip on to the top of your glasses and just flip them down and up.
You know what's funny is it's kind of like Get Out of My Head Pirate. I'm going to pick up some new glasses today.
Right.
And they actually asked me if I wanted, because I've got the aviator style.
Yeah.
They actually asked me, rather than prescription sunglasses, if I wanted to order those things flipped down.
Did you get any?
I thought, no, I think I'm all right, to be fair.
I'll have them if I can get them in Dicenian glass.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have actually. I'm going to ask them later.
Yeah, ask them. How much would it be to get these in Dicenian glass? Yeah. They'll probably look at you with a vacant face and have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing if he just looked at me and was like, demons. He knew exactly what I was talking about. We banned those from the opticians years ago.
We don't talk about that round here.
Yeah, sure. Oh, meet me out the back. I've got some Dicenian for you. It'll cost you 300 large and a Pokemon card. Final offer.
That would be good. Well, I think it's quite compelling, particularly like the guy was a scientist, or, you know.
Yeah, kind of.
Sort of.
It was weird. I still can't really work out what his actual occupation was. It just says he was in charge of electrotherapy.
Yeah.
And he worked in a hospital. So I don't know. I generally think
electrotherapy would normally be like people were a little bit loopy, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. See, I also read. This is another thing: is I don't want to discredit Walter Kilner because he did have some very well-respected theories, and you know, people have used Dicenian glass and they have had results and things like that. When some scientists did do some of their own research involving Dicenian glass. They didn't find the same results 100% to what Walter Kilner. I keep wanting to say Robert Kilner. Walter Kilner.
I'm sure he called him Robert earlier at one point.
Yeah, it's Walter Kilner. They didn't exactly have the exact same results, you know. They were getting maybe 20, 30, 40% of the same result. So they actually deemed a lot of his research to be inconclusive because they were like, well, we're not getting the same results that this guy did. So I don't know what's going on there. That's not discrediting him.
No, well, that's peer reviewing, which is what you're supposed to do when you're a scientist. I mean, that's how people get like a good, strong reputation. You know, they put their theories forward for peer review, and like you say, other people try it. Maybe some of them got the same results, some of them didn't. So yeah, like you say, a little bit inconclusive there. But I think it's got his foot in a good theory.
It was 60 years later as well. Like, we're talking late 1800s when he was doing all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And doing the research and the science. And then you think how much phones have come along in the last 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
They were doing retesting and doing his theories and stuff in the 70s and 80s. So you're talking, 60, 70, like 80 years later. Yeah, yeah. So the technology and everything is going to be different. They're going to have more accurate results. So that's not to say that his was a load of rubbish and they didn't, you know, get the same results, but there's something there.
Yeah.
It's just slightly different. So it's an interesting one. Interesting. Right? It piqued my interest and I thought, I don't know if many people are going to know about this or hear about this.
I've certainly never heard about it before you mentioned it the other day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's very credible. It's incredible. But credible.
I think the only thing that bugged me is it started losing credence for me when I was seeing videos, and I always take things with a pinch of salt, but when I was going down the rabbit hole and I would see the occasional video of someone holding up clear glass, like the first video I saw, and it was a UFO, there was a fair few where instantly I was like, well, that's a hoax.
Right.
But then when I was filtering through and I was starting to see the videos of people using purple Dicenian glass, and it was just back to basics, you know, like a slight aura or a slight outline or a white light or something, that to me was more believable. And that's when I thought, right, I'm kind of believing that side of it. I don't necessarily believe the UFOs and the other stuff that I saw. Even the conspiracy theory is a bit, I'm on the fence about it.
Yeah.
But the actual original aura and everything, mate, that's what I'm going to rate on the
well,
scale
I think it's, there's good scientific backing for that. Like we said about the filters, for, you know, looking at the sun, you can see completely different things with different filters, and it, you can do just similar things with your own eyes. Even like with those hydrogen alpha filters, if you just put it over your eye and look at the sky at night, you're cutting out a lot of the light that you don't need, but you can sort of see like the Orion Nebula. That's pretty much the only one you can see. But yeah, I think there's some credence to it. But the demons, the UFOs, I'm going to rate it down on those. But I am going to give it 8.7.
8.7? That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
In Josh fashion, I've just noticed one last little note.
That you didn't...
Yeah, it's not that important, right. But I should just say that the guy that made the glasses that I said about, the Museum of Tarot, if you want to check him out, he says that the Dicenian it was never that toxic. He thinks that the reason it's banned is because it stains really badly.
Charcoal and tar wood.
It's incredibly hard to work with. And once it's on something, it's on something. So he thinks that his theory, like with the conspiracies and stuff, he thinks that's the reason it was allegedly banned from the US government. Not because it's toxic, because it just stains everything.
Fair enough.
But you're 8.7, mate. That's actually higher than I thought you were going to get.
Really?
If we're just talking about the auras and things like that, back to basics, the original reason why Walter Kilner was doing this, there is a bit of credence there. I'm going to join you. You know what? 8.7 sounds really tasty to me as well.
Yeah?
So I'm going to give it an 8.7.
Okay. Well, that's an easy...
8.75.
8.7. Oh, great. So the average 8.725.
Yeah. I don't know why I did that.
To be funny.
Yeah, yeah. But there you go.
That is an interesting one. I do like that.
Mm.
And the fact that the guy was local as well. That's quite cool.
Yeah, I was quite surprised when I saw that. But if anyone else wants to have a look at Dicenian glass and tell me what research they found, see if I missed anything, then go
give
for
us a
it.
Shout,
I'm all ears because I could really
leave us a comment on the episode on Spotify.
Yes.
Or on YouTube or wherever it is that you listen.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I went to Spotify the other day to get the link for it, and I noticed we've actually had quite a few ratings on there.
Nice.
We are a 4.9 average on 34 ratings.
Hell yeah.
And I thought, that's not good enough. We need 4.9 on at least 100 ratings.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, since we get like over 100 downloads every week, I mean, surely if everybody listening was giving us a rating of 5... We could hit that 100 and still make 4.9. Let's see if it can be done.
Yep. Let's
if you're listening to this on Spotify, give us a rating and leave a comment.
Mm.
We always love comments.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. Makes us feel good.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK.
Ta-ta. Ta-ta!
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.